created the dire state of the oceans today. Routine activities on land and water contribute to 6.4 million tons of debris entering the ocean every year. If you care, you will go to www.keepoceansclean.org and see what you can do to make a difference. Thank you.
And you are in tune with WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 p.m. on a Tuesday evening. That means, once more, it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi.
It's another edition of Off the Wall, our first edition of 2017, and one of the last of the Obama administration, and
the last from the Stony Brook Student Union building.
One of the last. This might not be the last. Don't know. Not sure. It's not really that cold in the control room because we have a small fire going in the corner. It's a space heater. But the rest of the studio, wow, that's pretty cold. And winter hasn't even hit that hard.
No,
We're lucky.
Were it cooler, I believe we would have some snow and other winter type weather, but
in the studio, it would get in probably. But
I'd say, it was raining sideways today.
It was raining sideways, and I haven't seen the back of the place yet. It's possible that some of it got in. But, you know, there's nothing left here. We're pretty much in an abandoned building and broadcasting while we're waiting for our new facility to become operational.
It's a little zen when you walk in.
It's a big zen.
It's a big zen.
Big,
yeah.
Fat zen.
We've this entire empty structure. That when it's stripped down, you really reveal the architecture, and it looks like it was made many, many years ago.
By a psychopath, by somebody who wanted to torture people.
Right, by a mentally disturbed architectural zealot.
Well, I can criticize the building. Come on, they're imploding it, for God's sake. They don't like it, so why can't I criticize it? And nobody's going to be its victim anymore. All right, this building was built in, 1968 or something. Actually, I don't know. Why can't a building last longer than that? You know, the pyramids, they were built before that. And no one's coming to implode them.
It's a symbol of oppression, really.
That would be a good place to have a radio station because you could put the transmitter all the way up on the top. You know? Frank would have a field day with that. We saw Frank the other day on top of the Grad Chem building. Our chief engineer... Because we're installing, this is just between us and the listeners, but we're installing a second radio station here on campus.
Yeah.
To broadcast to the campus because our signal doesn't really make it that well from Bald Hill in Farmingville over here. So we're going to have a what's known as a translator.
That's right. You heard it here first. We are augmenting the ability to reach you in all the nooks and crannies of these parts of Brookhaven.
As if we didn't have enough to do, building bomb shelters and otherwise protective gear for what's coming up ahead, getting the studio moved over, digitizing all the CDs, and now another radio station, another frequency anyway. So hopefully that will happen soon. But we saw him. We saw him on top of the grad camp. We were driving by, and we saw him climbing the old antenna, because we used to have our main transmitter right here on campus in the Grad Chem building. And the university said, we'd prefer if you were far away in a different town, because your signal is interfering with chemistry experiments or something. I don't know exactly what the issue was. But that's why our transmitter is further down south. Not Georgia. I mean, further down south, Nichols Road.
Probably sensitive measuring instruments and so on were thrown by the electrical fields,
right?
By whatever broadcasting infrastructure was there.
But because of the nature of FM radio and various hills and things like that, our signal didn't really reach here that well. So the need to have another signal presented itself. But so anyway, Frank was up on the transmitter, on the antenna rather. The transmitter's actually inside. The antenna is what's outside. And we saw him climbing up to remove the antenna, climbing up the tower that is still there on the Grad Chem building here at Stony Brook. And that's where the translator signal is going to be coming from, at least temporarily.
Yeah, and I it was because I think of the existing tumult. I mean, we were already doing so much with this move that we... assessed that and looked at the possibilities and made some quick arrangements for what logistically, as far as ordering equipment, is already going on with the move. and were able to get the right pieces. So, you know what I didn't realize when he was up there that occurred to me? Because I saw the pictures afterward. There's like four bolts anchoring that antenna in.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Frank up at sort of the top.
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, such faith that a gust...
Faith in bolts.
...of wind wouldn't maybe... I mean, perhaps something would... I guess the failure mode is it would bend and he would be attached to it. But it didn't fail. That's
no, that thing is strong.
The caveat,
and he was wearing that mountaineering gear or whatever it is.
They were in Arctic gear.
Yeah, it was cold. It was they did it right. I saw the pictures too, and
observed probably all the precautions that are required for such activities.
It was just cool because we were actually on Nichols Road, which is off campus, and you can see that if you know where to look, you can see the little antenna mast. But we saw there was like this kind of blob on the top of it. I don't just called Frank a blob.
You just called him a blob.
Well, that's what it looks like in the distance. You just, you know, it's not a vertical pole. There's something lumpy and on the top of it, and that was Frank. That we saw him. So.
Yes,
that's the only way to describe it. But there was definitely a human on our antenna, so we pulled up a little closer and we could actually see him a little bit.
So that's an exciting thing to look forward to. We'll be on two frequencies.
Has he come down, though? Has anyone heard from him since?
If you're on campus or in the area. I think we checked, and Frank did... Is that right? Yeah, I think we confirmed. He is off the antenna
I don't
now.
Follow up enough, but I just assumed he made it down. Okay. If not, you know what? We'll check. Oh, no, it's dark. We can't see now. First thing tomorrow, we'll have a look, see if that figure is still on the antenna. If so, we'll make a phone call. But yeah, exciting times ahead here at WUSB and Stony Brook in general. Hey, very exciting times might be ahead for Stony Brook. And that statement has absolutely nothing to do with sports. Did you hear what our governor said today?
No. Wait, no, I did. No, wait.
You know, you should be listening to our governor at all times because he's getting things done. You
got
to hate him or love him. He gets things done. The Second Avenue subway, which we rode on the Second Avenue subway, on January the 1st, the first day that it ran, and Governor Cuomo is the person responsible for really pushing that forward.
I hesitate because I have heard him say a lot of different things. He said more than a few interesting things lately.
He talks a mile a minute. That's true.
So he's been busy.
He's been busy. So you might not know what exciting thing I'm talking about. The Second Avenue subway was one. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
We'll continue, please.
But what he proposed today is... You ready?
Yes, now I'm ready. Yes.
Governor Andrew M. Cuomo on Tuesday, that's today, proposed a path to free state college tuition. Free tuition here.
What?
Right.
Whoa.
Here. Because what? This is a state university.
You just said free, like as in no bill, no statement, just
no asterisk.
No,
nothing.
Just
no.
Free.
Free.
Like, just go to school, learn a whole lot. We took care of every, you know, it's on us.
That's right.
Wow.
Basically, the way this would work, if you are at a certain, your household is at a certain income threshold, or if you're below a certain income threshold, your tuition would be 100% covered. 100%. What do you think that threshold is?
I would say household income under $50,000.
Wow, that's pretty generous of you, $50,000. So you're saying if somebody makes more than $50,000, they damn well better pay full tuition for their kid.
I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe household. I don't know. I'm not really thinking about it. Go on, though. I hear you. Yes.
He's saying $125,000. That's a pretty good number. I mean, $125,000 is nothing to sneeze at. And that means if your income, if the income for your parents make less than that, that means that, and assuming that you got into the schools, one of the schools, either a SUNY school or a CUNY school, City University of New York as well, or a two-year college, then you would qualify for 100% of your tuition being covered. And that to me is amazing. That's what Bernie Sanders was talking about. That's what Hillary Clinton started to talk about as well. And here we're seeing it, despite the fact that Trump is assuming the throne. Here we see somebody in one of the most influential states actually coming forward and doing this or saying this.
Right. Well, and I think that, yeah, I mean, it's a step forward for this state to lead that effort.
Yep. And, of course, it still has to go through the legislature, which is run by Republicans, but that should be a breeze. But wow, yeah, that was something that I just saw today, and I was blown away by it. Now, tuition at a school like Stony Brook is about $6,500 a year. It's not as much as, you know, most private expensive schools, but it's a sizable amount, especially if you have a limited income. So this is something very positive and progressive. So I'm happy to see that. But the other thing was at the aforementioned Second Avenue subway that we rode on, Sunday, January 1st. We went into the city and met up with a friend and just rode around on every single stop. And we got out and looked at all the different stops. Well, actually, there's only three of them. Three and a half, really, because the 63rd Street stop at Lexington Avenue it was kind of like a half station because it was only using one of the or actually two of the four tracks that came into that station. Now they're using the Second Avenue line as well. So they added that plus 72nd Street, 86th Street, and 96th Street. And hopefully in the future, in the somewhat near future, they'll extend that up to 125th Street and then start going downtown as well so that the promise of the Second Avenue subway will finally be fulfilled.
Yeah.
What did I think? The first ride, yeah.
You want to know what I thought?
I do.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought it was a lot of fun to look at. Very great incorporation of art and design. And I think one of the cooler parts is that it didn't have columns, much like a lot of the other stations in New York City have, which gave you this feeling of openness. The arches, the way the ceilings were this sort of shallow curve, kind of like when you're in an airplane, the cabin of an airplane sometimes is curved like that. I don't know. There's something about that graceful arch that was warm. And there were a lot of people just, I think, also taking that in, just the awe that the space inspired.
You know, it reminds me, in Berlin, they have the U-Bahn, which is the underground train, the subway equivalent. And you walk down the stairs, and it's a similar type of setup on most stations, where it's a single platform with a track on either side. But one thing that you notice when you walk into the U-Bahn, and one thing I noticed walking into these stations too, is how quiet it is compared to what you're used to on the subway system. It just was really, you could hear yourself. It was definitely a different type of experience.
Yeah, and they incorporated the sound dampening, I think, into a lot of the design. So it's barely really noticeable, but I think they have included considerations for that. And the space just lends itself to feeling very, very solid, very well-built and just a strong presence that the space conjures up, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was also added to by the various people that were there. Lots and lots of people taking pictures, train enthusiasts of all sorts, members of the media, old people, young people. Everybody just wanted to ride that train the first day it was operational. And it was, you know, it's one of those unique New York experiences that can only happen once. The train is going to run every day now, but that day when it was actually running for the first time, there was just this level of excitement and curiosity that, you know, you see it in other places, you see it at other times, but this was something unique. It was the biggest expansion of the subway system in 50 years, which, you know, sounds good, but it's kind of shameful because really it is only three stops. And that subway system should have been expanding a lot more. There were certainly many more plans to expand that never came to fruition. But it was really a lot of fun to be a part of that, to just experience going from one stop to the next, exploring each stop, looking at the artwork that's on the walls of every stop because they're all unique and different. And it was a unique New Year's experience, I think.
Yeah. Other things I can think of that I really enjoyed were the entrances. They looked very space age, and they would just blend in to whatever building or whatever surface, and it definitely was like stepping into this whole other world that is the transit system. And the materials that were used for a lot of the art were really great. I mean, it was just so detailed astounding, because it wasn't that you were building or attaching art to the existing structure. It was built into the actual walls, and just the mastery of those different tiles and ceramics and the glass for the mosaics and stuff. It's amazing how you're given this medium, and how much artists can do with that and make it feel like it's going to last for a really long time. It's so keenly integrated into the walls, and the permanence is really astounding and comes through in a lot of the installations.
I just hope the next phase goes through a lot quicker than everybody is saying. All these naysayers, all these people that want to say, oh, it's going to take another, none of us are going to live to see it, it's going to take another 100 years. But you know, if you search on YouTube, you'll find video before the Second Avenue subway opened. You'll find video of the test runs, and you'll see there was a train approaching 96th Street from above 96th Street, and it's going at least 10 blocks before it gets there, which means they have that part dug up until about 105th, 106th Street. Actually, it might be 107th Street, because I recall back in the 70s when they initially broke ground on this thing and then had to stop. They broke ground, I think, at 107th and 3rd or 2nd in that area. That means that, okay, they've got that much done. They just have to get up to 125th. They could probably do this, especially if this line proves to be as successful as people seem to think it will be. And then let's just keep going. I mean, other cities, we've seen it happen in other cities where they build things a lot quicker and a lot cheaper. I'm not saying without quality, but at least let's stop convincing ourselves that it will never work, because we hear that all the time. We always are told this is impossible, but it's possible if you believe something is possible. And I just hope that applies to this.
Yeah. The materials that we're using now, when people see it installed like this and think about the rest of the system, they are inspired and moved to see how else we could have newer facades or new types of stations, instead of just sort of maintaining older stuff, which is a big brunt, a big part of keeping infrastructure there. But to see this stuff, it really makes you want to accelerate some of those other places where you might also have an opening of this or an extension of that. And that's one other of the like kind of overarching things generally that I took away from this is that I hope it really inspires people to get behind more building and creating new spaces.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, there used to be a Second Avenue subway, but it wasn't a subway. It was an elevated line.
That's right, and they dismantled it.
I think in 1940 or so, they dismantled it. There used to be a Third Avenue L as well. I think the late 70s, it was known as the number 8 train. This is true. And in fact, there are some subway maps where you can see the 8 train in the Bronx, because they didn't tear that part of it down until after they tore down the part of Manhattan. So there were these other subway lines. But imagine this. You know, they had the 2nd Avenue line, they had the 3rd Avenue line, and they had the Lexington Avenue line. Then they tore down those two L's, and it was only the Lexington Avenue line for all those years until now. So it's like the city has gone backwards from having 3 north-south subway lines on the east side to having 1. And now finally we have sort of half of a second one. So I guess that's progress. But, wow, we have to do better.
Well, what's next?
What's next is East Side Access, which is the Long Island Railroad going to Grand Central Park. Grand Central Parkway. Yeah, that, if only. Grand Central Station. I guess that's good for commuters. I don't really care if I wind up in Grand Central Station or Penn Station. But it
would offset loads in the system and maybe relax other parts of the system that you plan to use.
And more trains. There'll be more trains going by. But, you know, it's cool. I'm not downplaying it or being negative here. But when you travel, when you see what other countries are doing with their infrastructure, with their mass transit, and you see something as sad as the LIRR going by at like 30 miles an hour, when you know, well over 100 miles an hour is the norm in many places.
Don't knock the LIRR. They were going fast.
Saying,
we saw them the other day.
If this was Europe, if we were in Europe, you could get from Stony Brook to Manhattan in about 20 minutes, okay? That's how it would work. And it would be a smooth ride. You'd have refreshments on the train. There'd be a little table for you to do work on or to have a snack or whatnot. You'd feel a lot better.
I think they've been going a little faster lately. I don't know. Maybe they're up to 40. But, you know, we were talking the other day just about other cities. Do you remember Salzburg, that station?
Yes.
Not even a real—I mean, it's a big central place in Austria, but there were so many trains and just leaving like clockwork, one after the other, and you could stand on one platform and see all of the tracks from looking to your left to the right. There's just every single one of them in this open central hub, and it was uncanny even in sort of an alpine place like that.
Yeah, Salzburg isn't the biggest place in the world, but
right.
But they still had this big station with lots of activity.
Absolutely.
We did a radio show from that train platform, in fact, where we were discussing just this. And then we got onto a train, which wasn't even a fast train, although it was faster than the LIRR. It was a local train that made its way. Actually, we took, I think, three local trains to make our way into Germany.
And we documented each point where we shifted. But it's that integrating of the older parts of the network with these new hubs and other faster lines.
Yes. We had a ticket that told us what train to get on, what platform that next train would be on, what time it would arrive. And everything, even though we arrived with less than 1 minute to spare between the transfers, there was no problem making all the transfers. So you can listen to that unfolding live as we recorded it back a couple of years ago.
Other central places, Zurich, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
That was another amazing line just that we were in proximity of to see trains leaving the city, basically.
Yes.
Leaving the central station. Very, very busy just outside of that station.
Imagine getting on a tram. A tram is basically like a streetcar. Where there's this digital display that tells you what station is next, what time you will arrive at that station, and on top of that, what other trams will arrive at that station after you get off and what time they're scheduled to be there.
And
they all arrive at those times.
Maybe even some buses.
Sure, why not?
Throw a bus or two on there. We also, Cologne. Cologne's another massive, massive station.
You could just name any European
city. We could
city.
Just keep going on and on.
But the further east you go, the later the trains get.
That's right.
And just like on Long Island, it's how it is in Europe as well.
You just say the Stony Brook station is like Eastern Europe?
No, I'm saying out in the Hamptons and on Greenport.
Fair enough.
Good luck finding a train there.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, what else is going on?
We have some listener mail that I want to get to because it involves our theme change.
Okay.
As you know, we change the theme every time a new president steps in or a new presidential term starts. The current theme, the one that we just played, started back in 2000. What year is this? 2017. So it started in 2013.
It was modified once.
That was when this theme started.
Okay, so this is the second version of it.
It's the first version. It's the only version of this theme that we've done. I mean, we might have had the same melody in a different theme. That's true.
Okay,
But what I'm trying to say is that 2013 is when this theme started. Before that, 2009, the first Obama term, is when the theme before that started. And I think we had one before that. We have had one or two. I'm not sure. We'll figure this out for the Bush years. So we are designing a new one for the Trump years, however many there are. If, God forbid, there's a second term, there would be a second theme. That's legally, I believe.
We have a small pool of songs for that. But
yeah, and what we've done is we've always used a Philip Glass piece or a Philip Glass-inspired piece. In fact, the one we use now is not actually Philip Glass. What's the name again?
Alec Karras is the performer.
Always forget his name. I'm sorry, Alec, if you're out there.
Alec with a C.
He does a really good job. He does a whole album of Philip Glass music, and we just, you know, heard this by accident one day and decided that should be our new theme. And so for the last 4 years, it has not been Philip Glass. But we have pretty much said it's going to be Philip Glass tune for the next theme as well, because traditionally it always has been.
Yeah. And what could possibly be wrong with that?
Well, a number of people have written in, not answering that particular question, but offering friendly suggestions. And here's one of them. Dear Emmanuel, we all know there will be a new president. Unfortunately, it will be who it is. I like that. Yes, that's pretty much, that says it all.
That's how you bring it up in a safe space.
Uh-huh. You have changed the opening song of the Off the Wall show to reflect your opinion of the incoming president accordingly. You know, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say that the music that we play reflects our opinion so much as it's, yeah, it sounds kind of cool, you know, that's, but I mean, what was in this piece we just played? Optimism and perhaps rebuilding the infrastructure a little bit. I got some of that in there. And gay marriage, was that in the theme?
Well, yeah, it's at three different intervals it comes in. Uh-huh. But then also
pot legalization. That was definitely.
Definitely. Absolutely. You can hear the pot legalization, mm-hmm, in the undertones. And then a little bit about how cars work.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you're right, listener, in saying this, because I think the next one that we're putting together might reflect our opinion a little more, because it has to have a different type of tone to it. Anyway, continuing with the letter, it's usually an instrumental fairly long to accommodate setting up. And yes, you got that right, because it takes forever to set things up here sometimes and to get the connection going for online things.
But these are idiosyncrasies of the now what will be the old station, mm-hmm, and perhaps the ergonomics and ease of use in the new facility will make a lot of those transitions much more simplified and smoother, as it were. But
optimistic.
Suffice to say, yeah. I mean, I'm hopeful the new facility will iron out some of those kinks, and I'll maybe do a little bit of engineering.
Okay.
Even though I'm still on sabbatical.
Yes, you're sitting over there in the guest quarters while I'm here.
I'm eager to learn, though, and I had a really good run with this board. I mean, it's
you have to do it one more time.
Taught me a lot. Yeah, actually, maybe I should. Anyway, I don't want to get off topic
here. This could be our last show. This could be your last chance, you know? It's possible. We don't know exactly when we're going over.
But we do get on the air. I mean, usually at least within the first half hour.
Well, that's why the theme is so long. That and also we have to get into the mood, you know? And
yeah, I mean, you don't want to rush into something and regret it.
Anyway, this listener, whose name is Mike, by the way, thank you, Mike, for writing in. My suggestion for January 21st and beyond would be Minstrel Boy by Joe Strummer and the Mescleros on the Global Agogo record. It's a 15-minute, mostly instrumental, the few words from Joe. It's one of the saddest songs I've ever heard to this day. Thought it might be fitting. Well, you know what? To consider this, we'll play it. We'll play the beginning of it, and we'll talk over it, see how it feels talking over this piece. As just one of the suggestions that have been sent in to us. And our email address is otw@2600.com. And thanks, Mike, for suggesting this piece. Let's just listen to the beginning of it, the song Minstrel Boy, as performed by Joe Strummer. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. It's Manuel here, Kyle over there.
I am here. I'm with you this evening.
It's our new theme as we launch. It's good. I like it.
Yesterday was the the inauguration of our esteemed president, okay. Donald J.
Yeah, don't finish the sentence. Don't finish the sentence. Because, first of all, we don't do Saturday shows. He's being inaugurated on a Friday.
Right? I wasn't.
So that wouldn't even be possible.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, this is one listener's suggestion as to an intro we could use. I like it, you know, but it's that very familiar Irish song, Minstrel Boy. You might recognize the melody.
I like the drums.
Yeah, I like something with percussion. I definitely do like. So it has that going for it.
And oh, here comes the vocals.
Joe Strummer there.
Mm. Okay.
He had such a good voice.
Right.
I always loved his voice.
Yeah, it is faint. It's not the main event. I like that.
This actually was used in Black Hawk Down.
You can believe
that. Yeah,
a
shorter version of this.
Okay.
Come on, brother.
Yeah, no.
I'll get you to safety.
Yeah, it kind of ruins the song, right?
Yeah. Let me drag you out of the wreckage.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot
You're
more...
You're gone, but not forgotten.
Black Hawks down in the future, more songs that will go to accompany them. But anyway, let's let's talk about what's going on in the news. Did you hear what the Republicans tried to pull this morning, or last night, actually?
Oh, I heard.
Wow. It blows me away just how shameless they are.
The unmitigated gall.
They basically voted... House Republican lawmakers voted to strip the
ethics.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how to phrase this, but
House Ethics Committee
basically strip them of all their power. So and to make their replacement be completely under the control of the very lawmakers that it was supposed to be investigating, and to make it so that they could tell them to stop investigating. Or simply do something else entirely.
What I thought was really telling was the name change. It's the change from the Ethics Council or Committee to the Complaints Department. It's like, yeah, we're going to replace this impartial body and turn it into a suggestion box.
The proposal would have barred the panel from reviewing any violation of criminal law by members of Congress, requiring that it turn over complaints instead to the House Ethics Committee or refer the matter to an appropriate federal law enforcement agency. The House Ethics Committee would also have the power to stop an investigation at any point and bars the Ethics Office from making any public statements about any matters or hiring any communication staff. And the ethics office would no longer be able to accept or investigate any anonymous reports or alleged wrongdoings by members of Congress. So when they did this, when they came out with this, Twitter exploded, okay? And so did the switchboards at the RNC and Congress itself. People were outraged. But here's what really kind of annoys me more than anything. Donald Trump actually weighed in on this. He tweeted this morning. Yeah, try to contain your shock. He tweeted, and this is what he said. He has two tweets to do this, so you know it's important. With all that Congress has to work on, do they really have to make the weakening of the independent ethics watchdog, as unfair as it is, their number one act and priority? Focus on tax reform, health care, and so many other things of far greater importance. So they basically withdrew this earlier today. But what bothers me, what really annoys me, is that Trump is getting all the credit for it. Now, here in this very tweet, he even says the independent ethics watchdog is unfair. He said that. It's a question of timing more than anything else, because it makes them look so incredibly bad. But it was the backlash from the public that killed this more than anything else. Okay, you could even say the backlash from the public got Donald Trump's attention, which forced him to say something, which got them to withdraw it.
Because he knew it looked bad.
Either way, it's the people that did this. And the people, if you look at all the news stories about this,
are being, like, completely...
They get no credit. Look at the headline from CNN. The CNN headline, House Republicans pull plan to gut Independent Ethics Committee after Trump tweets.
That's like patently wrong.
It's a lie, but it's sucking up to the president-elect. It's sucking up to Trump. And better get used to this.
Wait, is that CNN?
That's CNN. The New York Times, Associated Press, they all did the same thing.
I saw an ad. I don't want to change the subject totally, but they have this book they're selling about the campaign. And you remember when he did the tweet that's unprecedented? The book's called Unprecedented. And I just think it's so funny because it's a bound book that you can buy. And they're basically sucking up to him because it's his cover on the front saying, like, this is what the media does. We correct your spelling.
It wasn't spelling. He used the wrong word.
They're like trying to be useful. Yeah, it was the wrong word. You know, not spelling.
This theme has 11 minutes left. Can you believe that? Wow. They really made a long version of this, didn't they? So, yeah, that's what happened today. And it really annoyed me because it's not what happened today. And yet history is going to record it in that particular fashion. Not exactly right. But at least this was stopped. And I think it goes to show that people do have power if they speak up and use their damn voices. All right, Trump might get the credit for it. But if that's what it takes to stop something bad, fine. Let him take the credit for this. But I know it was the outrage that was voiced that led to this thing being killed. And there's many, many more things that we can use our voices for as well. Remember, this is something people don't seem to remember. In the last election, Democrats gained 2 Senate seats. Democrats gained 7 House seats. Democrats won 3 million more votes for president than the Republicans. Yet Democrats are the losers. That's our crazy system. But it doesn't have to be how we feel mentally, because Democrats made a lot of gains, at least in the election. And we don't have to let these political manipulations allow losses to occur, allow us to move backwards. Remember, we have a lot of people who believe the same things we do. And no matter what the media does, no matter what the politicians do, no matter what our fellow citizens tell us, we do have that strength. We do have that power. And while this theme does work, I'm standing up now. I'm feeling inspirational.
Yeah, I don't know if you could keep standing on the board like that.
No, it's not good for it. But you know what? Who cares? It's gonna be in the dumpster in a little while.
It's not rated for that. I guess you could bend that a little bit. Just
Why
careful
not?
When you step down.
Here's another bit of news that I think you might like, Kyle. Did you see what happened to the Hollywood sign? Somebody threw a banner over it, and it read Hollyweed.
It's a throwback, though. This is a throwback.
It happened before. That's true. The Hollywood residents awoke on Sunday morning to find the iconic Hollywood sign had been altered to read Hollyweed in an apparent New Year's Day prank. The sign was vandalized?
Wait.
Really vandalized? I don't know if vandalized is the right word.
You skip right over the word prank. I mean, people still do those.
It is a prank, yes.
That's still allowed, right?
Well,
we can do pranks without calling it domestic. You know, it's not terrorist.
Well, this story says both. It said an apparent New Year's Day prank.
That's news.
The sign was vandalized. As the next sentence after that,
someone did a prank.
Yeah,
and then they said it's vandalism. Okay.
It happened about 3 a.m. by a male suspect who was recorded on surveillance video. Dressed in all black, unidentified vandals scaled Mount Lee. I scaled Mount Lee for Freedom Downtown. We walked up that same damn hill.
It's a lot harder now.
And you know what? We put a Free Kevin banner on that as well, but it was so tiny. We had somebody filming it all the way at the bottom, but it was so tiny compared to how big those letters were. You could barely see it.
Yeah, you really have to think big as far as covering something like this.
I like to think the person saw that film and learned from our mistakes. So when they made the banners that created the ease.
So all they really, in practice, did was put some black over the O's and then a white to go in on the O and complete it as an E.
I'm not exactly sure how they did it. According to the cop, he said they climbed each of the landmark's O letters and then draped those letters with black tarps. So they each appeared as a lowercase e.
But they also added a white.
He doesn't say that, but obviously they had to have added the e part, you know, that horizontal part.
Yeah. The top, yeah.
That had to be white.
But then that made them lowercase e's.
The best part, though, was that news of this came from a tweet from Tommy Chong. The Hollywood sign was changed to say Hollyweed today. That's
hey.
All. That's all it said right there.
Hey, man.
That was a good way to wake up on Sunday.
Hey, thumbs up with the sign.
Does you do a pretty good Tommy Chong? Can you do a Cheech Marin too?
All right, bro.
Okay. Well, anyway, the suspect remained at large hours after the incident. Yeah, because they really have to find this guy. Come on, the guy left a tarp on top of a sign. Is this really priority to track him down? Look, you can keep the damn tarp. Anyway, I don't know if they ever caught up to him. If arrested, he would face a misdemeanor trespassing charge.
Happily.
Boy, this story goes on for another page. Well, I mean, come on. The point has pretty much been made. The agency also notified the city's Department of General Services, whose officers patrol Griffith Park and the area near the sign. As bemused tourists looked on from a nearby vantage point, park rangers removed the tarps and restored the proper text's visibility by 11:15 a.m.
Hallelujah.
I thought we came to see the Hollywood sign, not the Hollyweed sign, said Bruce Quinn. But oh. Hey, it's okay with me. Okay, who comes to see the Hollywood sign? How do you do that? Like, going to take a plane into Los Angeles, then rent a car, drive over and stop and take a picture, and yeah, you came to see the Hollywood sign, now go back home? Do people do that?
As if it hasn't been photographed before.
Exactly. But at least you got to see the Hollyweed sign, which not many people got to do. According to the online newsletter, The Cannabist. You ever read The Cannabist?
No, I don't partake.
The landmark was similarly edited to read Hollyweed in 1976. The lettering was also changed 10 years later as part of a publicity campaign for a movie. And that's not our movie, because we didn't change the lettering. We just hung a banner. And nobody could see it anyway. On Sunday morning, Alvin Kim and two fellow hikers were among those who posed for photos with the revised landmark in the background, which Kim described as pretty cool. And that's your story there from the ABC affiliate in Los Angeles.
It's cool. It's cool. Come on. The thing is, those had not been adjusted in many, many years. There was a long stretch because they had added a lot of warnings, cameras, fences, grouchy neighbors, grouchy entitled neighbors, who have nothing better to do than bark at people because they're constantly driving up their access roads. Anyway,
there's all kinds of things you can do though to make a point. You can modify signs. You can add little pieces.
It's nice that descent of dissent is in the air.
Descent of dissent?
Yeah.
Isn't that conformity?
No, because I said so. I don't know.
If you're dissenting of...
Is in the air, though.
You're making
my brain
hurt.
Yeah, well, that was a little too poetic. Can we shut this off? No. Are you enjoying it?
So you don't like the theme?
You like it that much?
I'm trying to get into it. It's good. It's you know, I don't know why it's 17 minutes long, because it's the same basic melody
did
all throughout.
Did you just loop it?
No, I did not. I think Joe Strummer might have looped it, but I didn't.
Crying out loud.
It's long. I'll say that. It's a long theme.
Ugh.
It's got 3 minutes left, so let's try to bear with it. I want to encourage people to suggest things to us. It's different.
Cheery.
It's not Philip Glass, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one more story that I have about what Republicans are up to. You might have recalled that Mayor de Blasio of New York City vowed to protect undocumented people from the Gestapo that President-elect Trump has threatened to unleash. Basically, sending people out of the country who he decrees do not belong in this country. So there's this IDNYC program. They basically distribute cards to people without asking for their immigration status, and those cards entitle them to do things like enter museums with discounts and various other things.
That's not the primary
purpose. That's not the primary purpose. It's considered a proof of identity.
You can get a library card with it.
Yeah, yeah. So basically what de Blasio said was he would delete the database before turning it over to Trump. And now two Republican state assembly members from Staten Island who are opposed. Oh. They're opposed to the ID program. They were opposed to the ID program in the first place.
Okay.
But since he said that, they want to preserve it and keep him from deleting the records.
They're trying to flex? Are you kidding?
Yeah, this is what they do. So basically, a state judge last month temporarily barred the city from destroying the records while the court considers the lawsuit, which challenges a provision of the 2014 law which established the ID NYC cards in the first place. And that provision empowered de Blasio to delete the database. What Assemblyman Ron Castorina says, along with his co-plaintiff, Assemblywoman Nicole Maliotakis, what the mayor is doing here is essentially making himself the savior of undocumented people, and it's just ridiculous. What's so bad about being the savior of undocumented people? That sounds kind of cool to me.
Yeah, that is part of his oath of office, is looking out for the interests of all the people in his city. So what's wrong with equity?
More than 900,000 people have signed up for the ID NYC cards, many of whom are citizens and permanent residents. And again, by offering benefits like free admission to museums, the city encourages all New Yorkers to apply to avoid making the cards a scarlet letter. So it seems like the right thing to do. By the way, this is the ending notes of the theme, or proposed theme, and it's over. It's done. You can rest now, Kyle. Wow.
It's much better.
But yeah, that's the kind of hypocrisy. They were opposed to the ID cards in the first place, and now that it could be used to round up the undocumented people that they don't like, they want to preserve it so that those records can be kept, and they can simply round everybody up. Wow, get used to this, folks. This is the kind of thing that's going to be happening left and right as we progress. But you know, we're still more than 2 weeks away from this happening. I'm looking forward to more things that Obama might do before then.
Yeah, I've had this like sneaking suspicion that this is going to be like 20 days compressed, like a third term compressed into like 15 days, like a dozen days. It's just going to be one thing after the other. And if not, I'm happy enough at what has gone on. But let's just hope that actions like that to attack people's preemptive protections as the transition is imminent. Let's hope they're slow to it. They're just,
again, it's our voices that will make the difference as far as how that happens, or if it happens in the first place,
and that they're unable in the future to prey on people who are have been in our communities and deserve some dignity.
Absolutely.
And not to be targeted in such a way.
Or labeled, just you know, minimized into, oh, you're this, so therefore you get that. It's, you know, think of people as human beings.
Well, and if they've created a system to give people some form of identification, that, I think, is enough verification in a lot of ways. There's addresses involved, there's contacts, I'm not going to go. I don't know all the details of it, so please.
Regardless, we have never,
don't hold me to it. But
we have never embraced the idea of just rounding people up based on databases.
I think this is not the crux of the concern around. I would hate to see this conflated with the broader immigration concerns, because there is a lot of, I think, overreach into. These are probably the least. These databases, which, like you said, you shouldn't be using them in the first place for these purposes, but you know, they're probably the least of our concern.
As far as Obama goes, he's basically opened up millions of acres for preservation as national landmarks and things like that. What else has he done? I'm losing track.
Transferred prisoners from Gitmo.
He did that. Yeah, that was something as well.
Keeping that trickle going.
It's making it impossible for Trump to do certain horrible things like right away, such as drilling in the Arctic. There was that as well. We saw an amazing documentary last night on Standing Rock We only have a minute to talk about this, but yeah. Unfortunately, people don't get this channel here because it's a Canadian channel, but APTN, Aboriginal People's
Television Network.
Yes, and you can get it online. I think they have a stream, aptn.ca. And they were just going through the history of Standing Rock.
Play by play.
Over the last year.
Yes.
And how all of the progress, all the victories could be unraveled by a Trump administration. That place is going to be the front line of any battles that go on in the Trump administration, because
it is the proverbial line in the sand.
Yes, it definitely is. It might be the line in the snow right now because it's freezing. And a lot of people are kind of stepping back right now to see what happens next. But you better believe if anything happens to allow that project to go forward, people will be massing on there like you have never seen before. And we'll be right there with them in spirit and maybe in maybe physically as well.
That and many other projects, both physical and on paper. This is no time to be asleep.
Now, we're going out with this song that you might have just heard on Democracy Now! Because Amy Goodman did the exact same thing. I did not know this was going to happen.
Oh, I thought it was great, though.
It just shows that our minds are in the same place. But there is a performer, Rebecca Ferguson, who was invited to perform at the Trump inauguration. And she said she would only do this if she was allowed to perform a rendition of the Billie Holiday piece, Strange Fruit. Actually, I don't think Billie Holiday wrote the piece herself.
No, it was based on a poem.
It was based on a poem. In fact, I'm going to read the lyrics so that people know what they're about to hear. Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. The pastoral scene of the gallant South, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia sweet and fresh, and the sudden smell of burning flesh. Doesn't sound like Billie Holiday, really, but wow. Here is our fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for a tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter crop. Of course, it's referring to lynching. The horrors of the South are tarnished history.
Thousands and thousands of African Americans.
I don't think there's a chance in hell that Donald Trump would allow this song to be performed at the inauguration. What do you think?
But I am absolutely with that sentiment of challenging the invitation.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Somehow, I don't think Rebecca Ferguson will be performing at the Trump inauguration. But
yeah, something tells me it's just they're gonna have a long discussion about this or a short one, and it's just not gonna be what they're interested in showing the American people.
If it is, though, I will stand for this. I will. We'll bring you more news as it happens in weeks ahead as we prepare for this this change in command. And please write to us, otw@2600.com. And now, as we link the decades and the cultures and the voices that have filled this country for so many years, let us listen to the song Strange Fruit from Billie Holiday. Kyle, see you next week.
Good night. Thanks for listening. Black bodies swinging
the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh, then the sudden smell of